We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Harvey, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
My problem with what Rick threw out there to Spiegs is really good question. Was it's clear that the White Sox have had success with shifting, but they don't do it a lot. So one would think that if they did it more, there would be more success. I didn't like that he, in trying to explain how shifting works and him talking about marrying the pitching to the defense, that should be done already. That's the whole thing. Yes, you're shifting because you're going to pitch guys a certain way because of their hitter profile. You'll take Jock Peterson trying to lay one down the third baseline or choking up and going the other way because that keeps Jock Peterson in the ballpark. That keeps Yasmani Grandal in the ballpark. And when it comes to guys like Altuve, when your chart says that he is a guy that goes back up the box with his balls in play, you should probably pinch your middle infielders. And you should be pitching to that. Because, again, you'd rather have Jose Altuve hit a single than hit a home run. There, now I've done my TED Talk on shifting.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
It's true. It's damn true. Bass drop! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. On today's show, the Bears are playing the Steelers. We will talk about the matchups there. There are a couple people that I've circled for today's game that I'm looking forward to seeing if they can step up and step through. Shakia Taylor will join us at 12:40. If you haven't heard her, she's amazing. She is one of the foremost baseball historians on the planet, and she is one of ours. She lives in this city. She loves the game. I want to talk to her about Manny Minoso. I want to talk to her about Dick Allen, because I think those are two guys that I'm glad that they're on this new ballot to get people into the Hall of Fame. Neither one of these two dudes should have had to wait until now to be eligible to get into the Hall of Fame. So we'll talk about Manny Minoso and Dick Allen with Shake coming up at 12:40. Big Ann Heron will join me at 1 o'clock. We are going to talk ball, because that's what we do. We decided, Herbie and I kind of going back and forth on it, on whether we were going to like move everything back. But we decided that we had kind of a cool opportunity with Big Ann. So Big Ann usually breaks down the games with us on Mondays after games, but the Bears are playing on Monday night. So this gives us an opportunity to preview the game with Big Ann Heron. And I'm not going to pass that up. I think that we'll find out a lot of cool stuff about how the Bears match up against the Steelers. I want to talk about that a little bit more in depth. We will do that next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Audacy Station.
I think it's going to be really important that we as coaches do the best we can for him. And then at the same point in time, the players too. And that's collectively like everyone doing their 111th. And if they do their 111th, we'll have a great chance to win.
Matt Nagy was on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM with Pat Cassidy. this morning talking about the Bears getting prepared for tonight's game. By the way, if you are someone that doesn't have ESPN readily available to you, but you have rabbit ears, you can watch tonight's game on Channel 9. It's a simulcast, so it's not like Pat Tomasulo is calling play-by-play. It'll be the ESPN broadcast, but they have to allow for there to be over-the-air broadcast of Monday Night Football. And so this year, I'm guessing is The Bachelor or Bachelorette or something on ABC. My guess is that they have something that they'd rather run on ABC. So ABC 7 doesn't get it. Channel 9 will get it. So if you have rabbit ears and don't have ESPN, you can still watch tonight's game on Channel 9. I hope that helps. It hopes that that gives you options on what it is you can do with your viewing eyes tonight to watch the Bears. I'm looking forward to this game. I think the Steelers are better, but I don't think the gap is so big that the Bears can't figure out a way to win the game. And to me, this sets up like a game where you're going to ask your defense to play a lot better than what they did last week. No Khalil Mack, that makes things difficult. Robert Quinn will be out there. He was getting doubled and triple teamed. He's going to have to deal with that. That's why, to me, this is a Sean Desai game. You've been telling me that this dude is a genius. Now's the time for him to get his Fangio on and get after Ben Roethlisberger. There are quarterbacks to be afraid of when you blitz him. The anti-vaxxer in Green Bay, you should be afraid of him when you blitz him. Russell Wilson, you should be afraid of him when you blitz him. At this stage in his career, Ben Roethlisberger is someone that I feel like you can get home on. And you can make him drift. Remember at the beginning of the year, we were talking about Justin Fields and how he was drifting backwards on plays because of pressure. Ben does the same stuff, but with less athleticism. He's going straight back. He still feels like he has enough arm to make these plays down the field. And if you can put a little pressure on him, he will give the ball to you. Today feels like a day where Sean Desai should unleash Roquan Smith as a blitzer. Figure out different places to line him up. Change the look. Do all the genius stuff that you want to do. But this feels like a game where you got to let that guy be a menace. Now, he's going to have his hands full in trying to deal with the run game of the Steelers and Najee Harris, who I think is just an amazing player.
Roll damn Tide, baby.
It's partially because of that, but also because he actually has done it now. Like I think he's like 800 yards from scrimmage or something like that so far this year. He's done a nice job in the passing game too so far this season. But this is the game where I want to see Jalen Johnson play the ball. I also feel like this is the type of game and the type of quarterback where you might not have to worry that much about double moves. That ball's coming out because Ben's not trying to get hit. He can barely move. What did Levitard say? Levitard said he looks like a skyscraper with legs, and he moves like such. He's just a big old box, so go get him. What do you have to lose if you're Sean Desai and Matt Nagy? Like, this is not, to me, this is not one of those games where in the game planning of it that you should play it safe. This strikes me as a game where if you win, you can at least lie to yourself and say you're back in the NFC playoff picture. And there's some legitimacy to that. If you lose, you know, it's all about continued development of Justin Fields. But I want to see them attack. Like, that's what I'd like to see the Bears defense do today. Attack Ben Roethlisberger. Make him prove it. Make him prove it. He's got a couple of receivers that I really like. But make that dude prove that he can make plays. Turn the heat up on him. And see if he might not give you the ball. There's going to be more breakdown of the game with me and Ant Heron at 1 o'clock. But with the news that Dick Allen and Minnie Minoso are on this ballot to maybe go into the Hall of Fame, I wanted to talk baseball and give a bit of a history lesson on these two players. I don't understand why they're not in the Hall of Fame. Shakia Taylor is one of the brightest baseball minds that we have. She's going to join me to talk about it next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
There are a few White Sox, Billy Pierce and Dick Allen and Minnie Minoso, that are going to be in the Golden Days era ballot of the Hall of Fame. I thought that it was an ideal time to kind of talk about Minnie Minoso and Dick Allen, for me, are two guys that aren't in the Hall of Fame that should be in the Hall of Fame. And I honestly, like, to me, it's not even close. Like, it's not like, eh. And you know how much I love Harold Baines. And with Harold, it was like, yeah. With Dick Allen, you're talking about a guy with a career OPS of 912, where if you look at most people who are in the Hall of Fame, usually around 850 gets you in. And this dude was 912 with an MVP. So look, I am not one of the arbiters of these things. I am someone who loves baseball, but I wouldn't put myself in the same category as someone like Shakia Taylor. She is legit baseball historian. Like, people call her up and they're like, can you do a study on hiring in baseball? People want to see what she thinks about the game. And I am lucky to call her one of my friends. So I thought that we'd reach out. She joins me now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can follow Shakia on Twitter. At CurlyFro is where you can find her. Hey, Shake.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Glad to be here.
I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate you hanging out with us on the Twitch as well. I want to start by talking with you about Minnie Minoso. Mm-hmm. What do people need to know about Minnie Minoso and his argument to be a Hall of Famer?
The first point I'm going to make is he should have been in, obviously. Second, Minnie Minoso, he did a lot for the White Sox. I would even say for a while, people would even have considered him like sort of a mascot, if you will. One of his nicknames was Mr. White Sox. But 3 gold gloves, he finished 4th in AL MVP voting 4 times. His career spans across 3 decades. No one else in the history of Major League Baseball has a 30-year career. No one. He's the first Afro-Latino player in MLB history. Like, I could go on. I believe his entire career was what? He was attached to the game for a good 70 years. That's a significant time. He's in the Mexican Baseball Hall of Fame. He won a Negro League World Series. Like, do I need to go on?
Apparently you do, because for some reason he's not in there. And the crazy part about it is there's more than a legitimate baseball argument for Minnie Minoso to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, the numbers actually speak to it. And in an era where now we do seem to value players getting on base, this was a guy that got on base. His career on base percentage is like 390. So, and that's over a 20-year career that spanned over like 30 years. So to me, it's really easy to make the baseball argument, but what about the cultural argument about the importance that he's had on expanding the game to different places? He's still, Shake, like, that's the crazy thing for me. His name still carries weight at 35th and Shields now in 2021.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's considered the Latino Jackie Robinson, and that's tremendous. That's huge. Today's Cuban players, they revere him. I think the cultural argument is, to me, the greatest one, because people use the baseball argument to kind of, you know, downplay his career. Well, part of his time was in the Negro League. So what? Still baseball. It still counts. He was still amazing. But also, there are fans who say, I am a baseball fan. I am a White Sox fan because of Minnie Minoso. He embedded himself in the community here. He grew the game. I don't think there's any leg for the argument he shouldn't be in to stand on from either perspective.
I'm with you on that. And I know that you had this great event where you raised a whole bunch of money for some little leaguers from Chicago to send them to the Negro League Museum out in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And we got to meet Minnie's son. And that was a blast. And I'm curious if he shared with you just what he felt like his father meant to the game.
First, Charlie, I believe, just had a birthday. So happy birthday, Charlie Minoso, if you're listening. It was an honor to meet Charlie. I was not aware that he was even going to come. I thought it was the most incredible thing that, you know, he and his partner took time out of their day to come hang out with us, have a beer with us. And I tried not to talk about his dad too much because I understand that for us, it's like, these are legends. But to him, it's like, he was my dad. Like, you know, but I did ask in a separate conversation at a later date, you know, about Hall of Fame things. And of course, everyone, including the family, felt he should have been in. I know there was some stories that Minnie was like, if I'm not in while I'm alive, you know, then maybe it don't matter that much. I don't know how true that is, but I think it would be an honor for him. And I think it's what he deserves. And I think his family deserves to know that the rest of us view him in such a way that, you know, he sacrificed his body for the game. If you really, really want to think about how many times he was hit by pitches and things of that nature. So I think hopefully Charlie and the rest of the fam would be honored, you know, that they would be happy that we're finally catching up to what they already knew.
To me, and we're talking with Shakia Taylor, she's a baseball historian. She's an incredible writer. She knows the game, and I love talking baseball with her. Dick Allen not being in the Hall of Fame, to me, is a crime. Like, it's a straight-up, like, crime against baseball. I want to just give people an idea of this guy's credentials. Seven-time All-Star, MVP Rookie of the Year, okay? If we start looking at the numbers, 351 home runs. He had a season where he led baseball in total bases, his Rookie of the Year season, with 352. He's a career 912 OPS. And as I was saying in the intro, if you're around 850 and you've played a long time and Dick Allen played for 15 years, that's usually a ticket into the Hall of Fame. On top of that, he's one of baseball's greatest characters, like one of the more interesting people that's ever been in the game. I don't understand why Dick Allen's not in the Hall of Fame either.
You know, the rumor mill says that Dick Allen's not in the Hall of Fame because of baseball writers. He was considered controversial, rebellious. Some people viewed him as polarizing. But, like, when you start to dig into Dick Allen's legacy, I even wrote in 2018 about the underappreciated legacy of Dick Allen. He was one of baseball's heaviest hitters. He also was a a soul singer. People don't know that. Dick Allen used to croon a little bit. He's super interesting as not only a player, but a person. I think a lot of the bad press he got was, look at what he had to deal with. This is a man who had to deal with people calling him by a name that he didn't want to be called. Even today, people will still slip up and refer to him as Richie. And those of us who know better are like, wait a minute, hold up. He didn't like that. Don't do that. Don't disrespect him like that. He contributed so much, and he felt underappreciated. He felt it. He dealt with, you know, people throwing things onto the field. And I don't know, dude was just, he was badass to me. Can I say that?
Like, sure.
He was the man, and that heavy bat. I don't understand how you could look at Dick Allen's numbers and be like, he doesn't belong. And I just think it really boiled down to a lot of people didn't like his attitude.
And that's a troubling thing. And then if you look at it from different contexts and maybe with a little bit of time, you might understand the person more. And when it comes to these museums, and I know that at the end of the day, we're talking about an actual museum and what belongs in a museum. I think you're really good at connecting the game to the vibe. And to me, both of these men, they represent not just great play. Like, to me, there's no disputing what Minnie Minoso and Dick Allen provided from an actual baseball standpoint. But there's also something to the idea of adding vibe to the Hall of Fame, and that there should be players who are important and have character, if they have the actual baseball credentials to go along with it, that adds something to the experience of the Hall of Fame overall.
Absolutely. I think no disrespect to any of my friends who are voters, but I think the Hall of Fame voting system is kind of archaic. I think it relies on a lot of old thought. I think it relies very heavily on whatever tradition means to whomever the voter is. And it also is an extremely limited perspective group. If you look at, you know, the Baseball Writers Association of America, it's not exactly the most diverse group of people in the world. It's not, there's not a ton of women, there's not a ton of people of color, and I think those things matter. I think when you start to contextualize someone's career, you can't just look at numbers. You can't just look at, you know, how does this person fall on the baseball nerdery scale? Because let's be clear, most baseball people are in fact gigantic nerds. And sometimes they just miss the things, and that's okay. Like, we all have our faults. We all have our shortcomings, but we should start to consider, you know, not just numbers, but cultural relevance. And when someone has both of those things and someone is important, maybe you put your geekiness to the side. You know, a lot of African-Americans, what do we say, for the culture, maybe, you know, baseball voters should consider the culture every now and again.
I always appreciate when you bring some culture to the show. Is there anything that you, because look, I know I should have asked you this before I brought you on. I know that sometimes you be working on like secret stuff and stuff that you can't tell me that you're doing until it's out and it's amazing. Is there anything that you are working on that you want to point people to?
Well, I am working on stuff. I can say what it is. It's just not out yet. So I have a piece coming out very soon for Victory Journal. It'll surprise everyone in that it is not about baseball.
Nice.
It's about an artist, a folk artist, and, you know, how his art characterized sport. So be on the lookout for that. I will share it. I also am writing an essay for the Baseball Perspectives Annual this year. So that is, you know, something that people have to purchase. They don't post those essays online. But I would say if you can pre-order the Baseball Perspectives Annual, jump on it. I'm actually writing the Cleveland essay, though. But a good friend of mine is writing the White Sox one. So obviously be on the lookout for that. If you haven't read what I wrote for Global Sport Matters on managers of color, mainly Black managers, I have that posted. I think it's an important piece. I think it'll hang out for a long time in conversation just based on the managerial openings right now. That's it, I think, so far.
Yes, there's other stuff, but we won't say until we can say what the other stuff is. Shakia Taylor, you are a real blessing. I love your friendship, and I'm so happy that we get an opportunity every now and again to talk about baseball.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
That is Shakia Taylor. She is, if you're not following her on Twitter, at CurlyFro, there's all sorts of links to the stuff that she does. Just look her up. Just Google Shakia Taylor, and you will see that whether it's her writings on Jackie Robinson or Effa Manley or this study that she did on managerial hires, the woman is a force, man. A straight-up force. At CurlyFro on Twitter is where you should be following her. If you like baseball, she's the person you should be following, straight up and down. Football time. Big Ant Heron and I are about to fall down a wormhole, and we're going to talk about quarterback development. That's next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.